Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. We're thankful for each of you that are in the service tonight, and this is a marvelous Monday night crowd. I want you to covenant with me, and I would never, never ask you to do something that I haven't already begun to do. And I want you to covenant with me that we'll do our best to not only be back tomorrow night, but to bring someone with us. And if we do, this marvelous Monday night crowd will turn into a tremendous Tuesday night crowd, which will then turn into a wonderful Wednesday night crowd. And so let's do our best the next three nights to not only be back, but to bring someone with us. You may not realize it, but there are people in Columbiana, Ohio, that, and I'm not being harsh, God knows my heart, but Dr. Jameson could invite, and they wouldn't come, and I could invite, and they wouldn't come, and both of us could invite, and they really wouldn't come, but then there are people that you could invite that would come, because every single one of us has what I call a sphere, a orbit, a galaxy of influence. And I just want to encourage you to remain faithful these next three nights and do your best to bring someone with you. I hope that you will stop by the book table tonight. On the book table, there is the CD, The Message, America in the Shadow of Calvary. I've preached this message here. It is recorded on this CD when I preached it in the 2021 National Sword of the Lord Conference that year held in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you'll find it interesting to know, Dr. Jameson, this message has literally gone across the country. I've preached it, east, south, northwest. It's been on the radio several times. I've preached it on television a handful of times, and I want you to get it. America in the Shadow of Calvary. Talking about CDs, Mrs. Hamlin has an instrumental entitled My Alabaster Box. I cannot keep this CD on the book table. And on it there is O Worship the King, How Great Thou Art, Brethren, We've Met to Worship, Alabaster Box, where the project gets its name, This Is My Father's World, The Savior's Waiting, and some of Michael Jackson's greatest hits. I know that it will be a great blessing. It happened to be, Mrs. Jameson, I'm sure through the years I've told this, but I want to hear it tonight. I happened to have this at one time in a cassette. And a lady came to the book table one night in the meeting, and she pointed at the cassette. Before Bethany, it was a CD, and she said, that cassette has been such a blessing to me, and pointed at it. And I said, well, I know Mrs. Hamlin's just an accomplished pianist, an anointed pianist, and I can understand why it'd be a blessing. And she said, no, not the piano playing, but that cassette's been such a great blessing to me. And she turned, Bo Smith, to walk away. And I said, now, wait a minute, hold it, ma'am. You can't say that and just think you can turn and walk away. You have to explain yourself. Why is it that the cassette isn't a blessing? And she went on to explain that she never even listened to it, but that the cassette was a blessing. I said, you gotta give me the interpretation thereof. And she said, well, she said, I took it. I went to my beautician, and I pointed at Mrs. Hamlin's picture, and I said, I want a Carrie Hamlin hairdo. And she said, oh, she said, been such a blessing, that cassette. And so let me say, fellas, if you want a John Hamlin haircut, my brother, I think you and I, yes, sir, you got one. You got one. Just go ahead and get something back there with my picture on it, and I'm sure the barber will hook you up. I'm sure he will. But often in my meetings, they will play this instrumental before and after. And I believe it was, in Massillon, Ohio, a number of years ago, a lady came to the book table and pointed at the CD and said, Dr. Hamlin, I got that a year ago when you were here. And she said, I didn't know it, but I hit some spiritual storms. And she said, the Bible And that CD by your wife got me through the spiritual storms of my life. And so I hope that you'll get it. I know it'll be a great blessing. I'm biased. I'm colored in my thinking. I'm prejudiced. But this is old school evangelistic style of playing the piano. And I'm not a musician, but I think it's a style that's caught more than it is taught. And so I hope that you will go by and you'll pick it up. Also on the book table is the book, The Blessed and Blemish of Social Media. Boy, if you're on social media, I don't care if it's Instagram, if it's Snapchat, if it's TikTok, if it's Lincoln, if it's Courier Pigeon, Smoke Signal, or if you've written graffiti on the wall of an abandoned building. Whatever your social media platform is, you need to get The Blessing and Blemish of Social Media. Our pastor, Dr. Wayne Hallock, is not even on social media, and he got the book and sent me a note not too long ago, and the note said, Dr. Hamlin, I've read every word of The Blessing and Blemish of Social Media, and he said, I believe that book ought to be in the home of every family in America. That's what our pastor, Dr. Wayne Hallock, said. And so I hope that you will go by the book table and that you'll get it. And I've had parents get it for their children. I've even had grandparents get it for their grandchildren. And it's just a very practical, scriptural approach to social media. The blessing and the blemish of social media. And then as you're turning to Daniel chapter 5, boy, I hope that you'll get the pamphlet, A Call to Old Time Preaching. This was preached out of a burden, and I'm encouraging people in all of my meetings not to get one copy, but to get two, one to keep and one to give away. The blessing and blemish of social media. There's nothing wrong in our country, but what could be made right by old-fashioned, red-hot, Spirit-filled Bible preaching. And I understand very well that this is an election year, and I've got more than strong feelings about that, more than Make America Great Again. I've got more than... You're supposed to laugh right there. You missed it. I've got more than strong feelings about that, but the answer to our country, hear me and hear me well, is not political. Now, that plays a part. But the answer to our country, 110%, is spiritual. And we've got to get back to the preaching that Dr. Jameson does and I try to do, a call to old-time preaching. Book of Daniel, chapter number 5. I never preach on a Monday night, and I'm sure that I've shared it with you before, but I never preach on a Monday night, but what I just go back in my mind to probably every bit of 45 years. I had gone to a Bible conference that was not preaching, had just gotten saved and called to preach. I was 17 years of age. And thank you for being patient with me. I'm struggling a little bit with allergies. I'm allergic to whatever's blooming right now, whatever's blossoming, Joe Biden moment, whatever's blossoming right now, and I'm allergic to animals that shed, and I'm allergic to probably ladies, that perfume that you're wearing, and I'm allergic to dust, and I'm allergic to recovering fundamentalists, and I'm allergic to Calvinists, and compromisers, serious, I mean terminal allergies in that regard. So I appreciate you just bearing with me. Bethany was so sweet. I was coming in and she handed me some gummies. And I said, thank you, Bethany. And I didn't know they were medical marijuana, but thank you. Thank you, Bethany. You are such a blessing. I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. That ain't true. God wasn't in that. He wasn't, but it was hilarious. It really was. But I was... Young man, I was a young man and went to a Bible conference. I'm glad that's not going to be on the internet. I won't leave this room. I'm so glad it'll stay right here. But 17 years of age, and I went to hear a preacher preach in a Bible conference, and he got up, and this is what he said. This is exactly what he said, Dr. Jameson. The preacher introduced him, the moderator. He hit that pulpit, and he said, I quote, I hate Monday nights. That's what he said. He said, you preach all day Sunday, and then you travel, and you're back in the pulpit on Monday night. And he said, I hate Monday nights, and I always coast on Monday nights. That's what he said. Well, I must telegraph my disapproval of that statement, because then he said, he followed it up by saying, you young preachers, you'll get to the place where you preach on a Monday night and you'll coast too. Well, I just went ahead and turned my heart into an altar, and right in that service, I said, Lord, if you ever let me preach on a Monday night anywhere, I promise you tonight I will never coast, and I'll preach harder on Monday night than I did Sunday morning or Sunday night. Now, aren't you glad you came tonight? I got to be very transparent in telling you that I was a little bit tired on the way to the service tonight, but I stopped at a gas station and I got an energy drink. It was called Let It Rip, and I drank every drop, and I don't give a rip. Daniel chapter number 5, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 16. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the word of God. Daniel chapter number 5 and verse number 16. And I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou should be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. I don't know, Dr. Jameson, in 45 years now, being saved and on the revival road, a gospel preacher, I don't know how many times I've read the book of Daniel. I don't know how many times I've preached from the book of Daniel. I don't know how many times I've studied the book of Daniel. But just a handful of days ago, I was in Daniel chapter 5, and God gave to me what I'm going to try to give to you tonight. Amen. There are three words in this verse that I would have you place a mental tent around, and they're the three words, and dissolve doubts. Do you see them? There they are, and dissolve doubts. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the AKA, the also known as, that I want today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be, as if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. In every hour of Bible, world, and church history. God has had someone or several someones that were considerable heroes and heroines. They were given monikers that matched their mission. Abraham was called the friend of God. Winston Churchill was called the bulldog. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called the prince of preachers. But in this present time, which is marked by the prevailing trend of so much faithlessness and faltering, my mind is made up to model the prophet of past time. The AKA, the also known as, I want today. In the book of Daniel chapter 5, we find King Belshazzar's appeal to the prophet Daniel. Now this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The ball, verse 1. The gall, verses 2 through 4. The wall, I gotta say it again, make America great again, verses 5 through 6. The call, verses 7 through 29. And then the fall, verses 30 through 31. It is well the prophet Daniel is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the call that a person hears echoing, Dr. Jameson, down the corridors of bygone centuries from a godless banqueting hall to a grotesque, morally bankrupt hour, an often unnoticed moniker for a man of God. Verse 16, and I've heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations, and watch it now, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. Watch it now, and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. More times than not, King Belshazzar's eternal statement about Brother Daniel and dissolved doubts is missed because of the temporal swag bag that came with the interpretation of the monarch's dream. Now, you may have the burning question on your lips. What is a swag bag? Well, in the margin of Daniel chapter 5 and 16, the Hamlin Reference Bible, the note says a Mr. T starter kit. And dissolve doubts basically means the removal of reservations. One Bible student once wrote about our text, we live just now in a specially doubting age. He went on to write, science puts everything in question and literature distills the questions, making an atmosphere of them. The cultivated and mature have doubts ingrown, they know not how. And then this Bible student ties it up by saying, and the younger minds encounter their public visitations when they do not seek them. The sister verse of Daniel 5:16 is 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Never forget the duty of the child of God in this dark hour is by their word, walk, and work to be constantly, oh my, putting not question marks, but exclamation points on their word, walk, and work. If you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that, and it even bears repeating the duty of the child of God. That's me and you. If you're saved in this dark hour, is by our word, walk and work, to be constantly and yes, consistently putting not question marks but exclamation points on our word, walk and work. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need to know the DNA that is the scriptural model that will give the AKA that is the spiritual moniker of Brother Daniel. Now quickly tonight, there are five dynamics of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts. And I've got to interject again, the AKA, the also known as, that I want today is the same one that Daniel of old had. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And if we're going to have that spiritual moniker, then we're going to have to follow the scriptural model. And there are five dynamics, oh my, of Daniel's daily life that will cause us to be just like Daniel. Let's quickly notice it tonight, the AKA, the also known as, that I want today. Number one, his consecration. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his consecration. In Daniel 1:8, God tells us that Daniel of old understood without question that when one there devotes themselves to the heavenly cause, it touches all areas of their life, dress, demeanor, destinations, delicacies, diet, and even drink. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about the scene in the scriptures. Daniel resolved to live a clean, godly life. And from what we can read in scriptures, he appears for the most part to achieve this. Almost all the great men of the Bible had glaring faults recorded. And then Dr. Rice penned, none were recorded of Daniel. In other words, he may have lived in the Babylonian captivity, oh my, but the Babylonian culture did not there capture or claim him. Is it any wonder that the songwriter would take the songwriter's pen and place upon songwriter's paper those soul-penetrating words, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Friend, you and I need to know that the AKA that will give, or rather the DNA that will give the AKA and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel is his consecration. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 15, but as he which called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Mark it down. Don't think that you'll make a difference till in every 24 hours, you're different and don't care who knows it. Now let me go ahead and preach for a moment. I believe that our independent fundamental Baptist churches are filled, Dr. Jameson, with a lot of believers that they don't mind to be different, but they don't want anybody to know that they're different. Pardon me, but friend, that's not how it works. We, you and I have to there be willing to be different and not care who knows it. And the only way that we'll be able to dissolve doubts is to have that consecration that Daniel had in his life. Look at the text of Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, his consecration. Many years ago now, musicians noted that errand boys in a certain part of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. As it was talked about, someone suggested that it was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong, Brother Smith, with the chimes, and they were discordant. The boys did not know that there was anything wrong with the peals, and quite unconsciously, they had copied their pitch. Hey, child of God, our whistle had better always be out of pitch with the bells of this wicked world, because our whistle ought to be in tune with our higher bell, and it's the bell of holiness that's found in heaven. And dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. How? His consecration. Number two, let me hasten, and I know that I'm going to get stuck here. Number two, his cooperation. Daniel 2:17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By the way, I got to interject, those were their real names. His companions. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his cooperation. In Daniel 2:17, God tells us that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't just passing peers on a Bible page, but believable pals. In so much that when Daniel learns about King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he couldn't recall, and how if the wise men of that day couldn't reveal it, they would all be pushing up daisies as a powwow at his place. The Holy Spirit gives us this truth with the pen of inspiration, and we see it on the page of preservation in two words, his companions. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA, which is the scriptural model that will give the AKA, which is the spiritual moniker and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel, is his cooperation. Now, there are several ways that God's people showcase their cooperation down at the church house, or their teamwork down at the church house. It may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but first of all, they draw the same enemies. Daniel 2:13, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. A way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the church house is they draw the same enemies. A biblical stand not only brings the right friends, but the right foes too. Can I go ahead and preach? I don't understand how that you say that you take the same stand that Dr. Jameson takes and that I take, and everybody that hates us loves you. I just don't understand that. Now, a right stand will not only give you friends, but a right stand will give you foes as well. And I think a lot of people's problem is that they want to be on everybody's A-list. They want to be the flavor of the month. They want everybody to like everything they post on social media. I got to be very transparent with you. If I get too many likes, I just take it down and think that was the wrong thing to put up. You see, what happens that showcases our teamwork down at the house of God is we draw the same enemy. Secondly, they desire the same enablement. Daniel 2:18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. A way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the church house, they desire the same enablement. Nobody serves God very long till they come to the place that they need both divine supply and strength. We can't sing in our power. We can't preach in our power. We can't teach in our power. We can't run a bus route in our power. We can't play a church instrument in our power. We can't fill in the blank of what you do down at the house of God in our own power. And you see what will happen that showcases our teamwork as the people of God down at the house of God is we there desire the same enablement. Thirdly, they demand the same end. Daniel 2:23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Hey, a way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the church house is they demand the same end. The mission is always the same, and that is maximum glory for the Master. It's not praise me. It's not praise you. It's not praise us. It's all the honor and all the glory and all the praise goes to the King of Kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All that every single individual that was in this service and watching by way of internet would realize the ways that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the church house is they draw the same enemies, they desire the same enablement, and they demand the same end. A great American and one of the founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, once said, we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. Oh, would you look at the text of Daniel 5 and 16, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. I don't know if I've mentioned it or not, but in these 45 years, I don't know how many times I've preached from the book of Daniel. I've read the book of Daniel. I've taught the book of Daniel. I've studied the book of Daniel. But man, it was just a handful of days ago that I saw this phrase, Sister Bethany, and dissolve doubts. Man, that is the AKA, the also known as, that I want today, and have that spiritual moniker. You gotta have the scriptural model, and the scriptural model is the life of Daniel, his cooperation. I'm stuck. I can't get off of this. You're not going to dissolve doubts of the lost in Columbiana, Ohio, when you can't get along with anybody down at the church house. And if you can't walk past five pews here at the Columbiana Baptist Church without having a problem with 10 people, sweetheart, the problem is you. Think about it. If you can't go to the post office without drama, and you can't go to the beauty salon without drama. And you can't go to the barber shop without drama. And you can't go to Walmart without drama. Would you please tell me what the common denominator is? It is you. Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem, Houston. Houston, we have a problem. Oh, friend, you know what? Listen, the worst thing that you can do is have a contrary spirit towards a man of God. The worst thing you can do is have a contrary spirit towards the people of God, because there's lost people that every day watch me and every day watch you. And if we're going to dissolve doubts, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to learn to get along. We're going to have to learn to go along. We're going to have to learn that, listen, if God can save the likes of me and God can save the likes of you, then there's got to be something that he sees that's valuable in all of us. So let's get along. Hey, if you can't get along here, what in the world are you going to do over there? His cooperation, number three. His communication. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his communication. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that jealous officials, Dr. Jameson, they were big time jelly. Jealous officials had King Darius sign a law forbidding prayer for 30 days, which was an aim at Brother Daniel, that he would be the appetizer, main course, and dessert of the lions anxiously awaiting in their dens. But Daniel would rather not live than to live up without being in constant communication with his heavenly Father. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel is his communication. Now, according to the watch on my wrist, it's about 7:49. And on this Monday night at 7:49, there are some people that are in this revival meeting that, outside of returning thanks for meals, you've yet to say anything to your Heavenly Father. Outside of saying thank you for the Lucky Charms, I don't know what you eat, maybe Captain Crunch, Trix. But outside of saying thank you for breakfast, and thank you for lunch, and thank you for dinner, right at 7:59 on Monday night in March of 2024, you've yet to have a real time of prayer with your Heavenly Father. And dear friend, if you treated your spouse in the last week the way you've treated the God of glory, you'd be in divorce court tonight. I'll bow your head. We're nowhere near closing in prayer time. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel is his communication. News flash, you can get through your spiritual life without a cell phone, a laptop, an email address, or even without a social media platform, but you can't get through your spiritual life without walking with God on your knees. His communication. Number four. We having fun yet? Have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Number four. His continuation. Daniel 6:10, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his continuation. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that Daniel comprehended that the only thing that gives weight to piety and purity in prayer and praise is consistency. The four words, as he did aforetime, are the secret to every one of his spiritual successes. Oh, just go through the book of Daniel, and next to every, I don't know if you'd be blessed by your own preaching, but I'm almost there. Next to every one of his spiritual successes, just understand that the secret sauce was aforetime. The secret sauce was aforetime. Man, it's no surprise, it's no shock to me that God is blessing Dr. and Mrs. Jameson here at the Columbiana Baptist Church, because there's been some aforetimes in their life in Mississippi, and now some aforetimes in their life in Ohio. And whenever we have the blessing of God, the favor of God, the benefit of God, I promise you that the secret to it isn't aforetime. It's faithfulness. Amen. First time that Dr. Jameson and I ever met, and I love it. First time we ever met was in South Haven, Mississippi. And I slipped in after the service was underway, and a lot of people want to buy me a watch. I'm good. I got a watch. I'm good. I appreciate it. If I can give you a 411, the reason I slip in after a service starts is because kooks. Yes, thank you for the echo. Kooks. Every church has one. And you're blessed if you only have one. And the funny thing about it is, right now, as you're thinking about a kook, somebody's thinking about you. And I mean, through the years they've hemmed me up, through the years they've caught me, through the years. I mean, I've made the mistake, Mrs. Jameson, if I'm lying, I'm frying. I've made the mistake to get to a service early, and I mean, they're just hanging on to me, and I've gone into the restroom, and I've had them follow me into the restroom, and I've gone into a stall, and I've had them follow me into a stall, and I've said, dude, you are creeping me out. So I'm good in the watch department. Trust me, I'm good. And there's a reason I slip in when I do. And I'll never forget. And by the way, I've got to chase a rabbit for a moment, shoot it, skin it, and give somebody a pair of soft slippers. Before preaching time, if I can help you with something, but before preaching time, that is not the time to walk up to Dr. Jameson with a church bulletin and say, I found a typo in the church bulletin. It's not the time. Don't walk up to him and say, now, in the church bulletin about your series on Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth is spelled wrong. Now listen, you do that to him, and I'm going to ask him to make you be the one that there prints the bulletin for the next 30 years. As if you even know how to spell Mephibosheth. But before a preaching service, if I can help you with something tonight, before a preaching service, that's not the time to walk up to the preacher and say, I found a typo in the church bulletin. Mephibosheth is spelled wrong. Before a preaching service is not the time to walk up to the preacher and say, now that van that we're not using, the spare tire is 2 pounds low on pressure, and I just thought you really need it. That's not the time to tell him that. Or how about this one? It's not time, before he gets up to preach, to walk up to him and say, you know, some people have been talking to me, and they've been saying some things that I think you ought to be aware of, but I won't bother with you. I won't bother you with it right now. Now listen. You ought to be stuck on a special kind of stupid to do something right there, like that right there. I'm not being mean, but I mean really, you got to be stuck on a special kind of stupid. I don't know what your email address is, but maybe it's www.imastinkingidiot.org.net. I mean, you just don't do stuff like that. I mean, listen, when the man of God is going to the pulpit, he has a message from God. And by the way, if you're having trouble right now, we'll have Tums for you tomorrow night. You don't walk up to him when he's getting ready to preach and dump on him. You don't walk up to him when he's getting ready to preach and say something that the dirty, low-down, two-faced, egg-sucking, spend forever in hell devil can use to distract him. That's the time to say, preacher, I can't wait to hear what God's given you for me. Preacher, I can't wait to hear the message. Preacher, I got a visitor with me, and I know whatever you're going to preach. If you just go to the concordance and just start calling out names that are in the Bible, boy, I know that visitor gets some help. Preacher, I just can't. I mean, preacher, I love it when they walk up to me and say, man, Dr. Hamlin, put it on us. Put it on us. I hope you've not got something sweet. I hope you got a real mule skinner with you tonight. Man, that helps me. This nonsense of, well, people have been talking, and I won't bother you with it now, but after the service, we need to talk. Oh, my goodness. You do something like that, I hope the lice of 1,000 camels infest your armpits. That's what I hope. In Jesus' name, that's what I hope. So, oh, Dr. Hammond, I wouldn't say that. I know you wouldn't say it. That's why God had me say it, because he knows you wouldn't say it. He's going to the pulpit. He's got a message from God. Let me help you a little bit more. Don't put him in a hostage situation. Say what? What's that? Mrs. Jameson, when Mrs. Hamlin and I were together in a meeting, I probably shouldn't share this, but it's not going on the internet, so nobody's ever going to see this. But when we're together in a meeting, we got a code between us, and if someone hems one of us up, now listen, she loves people, I love people, but you're not the only person that needs to talk to the evangelist. You're not the only person that needs to talk to the pastor and the pastor's wife. Hello? And so we got this thing where if we're in a hostage situation, we'll look at one another and make eye contact with Smith, and we'll rub our nose. And what that means is, you got to help me. You got to help. I'm getting some ugly stares, but every ugly stare is like 15 more minutes, and we're almost at a watch night service right now. I mean, we're close. We're close. And so she'll look at me, or I'll look at her, and she'll, and sis, there've been, I can't help it. There've been some times where somebody's got her hemmed up, and she's looked at me, and she's made eye contact, and she'll go, and I'll just laugh. I'll just laugh. And then she'll look at me again, and she'll go, and I just laugh. It's hilarious. Hey, would you get off the lonely aisle of me, myself, and I? And realize there's other people that live in this world than just you. Man, I would hate to hem up the man of God with absolute nonsense when there's someone that has an urgent, vital, important prayer request. And I'm asking him to pray for my cat that's going to have a litter of kittens. First of all, we don't pray for cats. Say amen right there. I hate cats. I hate cats. I do. I hate them. Well, God bless you, but I hate them. I hate them. I shouldn't say that. I have a favorite cat. I do. A Himalaya. Himalayan dead in the middle of the road. That is my favorite cat. Now don't get all sideways and don't get all mad. When I get done eating with the preacher and his family and I get back to the motel room, there better not be any posts on social media. Oh, I can't believe it. Dr. Hammond was lady came to my book table. She said, I can't believe what you said about cats. She said, that's not right. And just, you know, and by the way, get a sense of humor. I mean, go through a drive-thru. Get you a Biggie-sized sense of humor. Would you lighten up a little bit? And she said, I can't believe, I just can't. And she put her fist on her hip, and oh, every married man knows the power of that move. And she let me have it. I mean, let me have it. I can't believe what you said about cats. And just like a stuck chainsaw. Man, brother, I just got done preaching my spleen out. Not a thread on me dry. And she wants to just about cats. And I know I shouldn't have done it. I know I shouldn't have. But finally I said, ma'am, if you'd have known your Bible, you know that the Antichrist is going to have a cat. She said, where's that? I said, well, if you'd known your Bible, you'd know that. She's still trying to find that in the Bible. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. She said, you're allergic to them. You're allowed to, I think you said, loathe, despise, detest. I added to that just a little bit. Look at the text, Daniel 5 and 16, and dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. Man, I don't know how many times I've read the book of Daniel. I've preached from the book of Daniel, and I've never seen that. That's the AKA, the also known as, that I want today. And friend, if you go out in this community and all you are is critical, you go out in this community and all you are is caustic, you go out in this community and you think it's your job to hang the dirty laundry of the church and everybody's got dirty laundry. Don't act like you don't got dirty laundry. I mean, your hamper right now has exploded. Everybody's got dirty laundry. But it's not your job to go around town and especially get on the internet and tell everybody about it. And if you're going to do that, just tell them you're a Mormon. Just tell them you're a Jehovah Witness. Don't you dare tell them that you're saved and that you're a member of the Columbiana Baptist Church in Columbiana, Ohio. I want to dissolve doubts. His continuation, I think that's what I'm dealing with. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, the best ability is dependability. I was telling you about a four-time in the Jameson's life. You know, in that meeting when I first met Dr. and Mrs. Jameson, I never had Dr. Corey Napshield, a dear friend as well. I never noticed when I slipped in that the service hadn't started. I never noticed when I slipped in that there was no noise. No piano, no organ playing, no song leader leading the singing. I never noticed, Brother Medcalf, when I came in that Dr. Napshield was looking at his watch and looking for the song leader. No. On a four time. And by the way, I noticed his wife was right there too. On a four time. And if we're going to be like, oh my, if we're going to be like Daniel of old, if we're going to have that spiritual moniker, then we've got to have the scriptural model. And the scriptural model in Daniel's life was his continuation. We got a lot of people who start well, but unfortunately they don't finish well. And the longer that I'm at this, my brother, the more interested I am in finishing well. Someone's start gets our attention. But someone's finish gets our admiration. Anybody can get attention. But not everybody can get admiration. That's how we finish. Do you have an aforetime in your life? Have you taught Sunday school for a while? Have you been on a church instrument a while? Have you been in church a while? Let me ask this question. You don't have to answer it audibly, but maybe in your heart. If every member of the Columbiana Baptist Church in Columbiana, Ohio was as faithful as you are, would the door stay open? You say, Dr. Hamlin, it's Monday night and it's a marvelous Monday night. You said so. Yeah, but we still need preaching like this. Say, oh, you're preaching to the choir. We come to everything. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but every once in a while, the choir needs to be hung over hell till they smoke. If every member was as faithful as you are, well, the doors of the church stay open. His continuation. Number five, and last of all, my time's gone. Now, this is not a preaching class, but I just want to make mention, I've never prepared a message like this message that I'm preaching tonight. There's a certain process, Brother Medcalf, that I go through, and I, of course, you know who I learned it from. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr. Boy, you're talking about a preaching machine. Dr. Malone, big statement, he could read a menu. I mean, get up and read a menu, and I'd get victory over large curd cottage cheese. Man, what a preaching machine. And I learned, and again, Bill Smith, this is not a preaching class, but I learned how to prepare sermons, and I learned how to study from Dr. Tom Malone Sr., who, I've got to interject, Dr. John R. Rice said, was perhaps the greatest pulpiteer of the 20th century. But I prepared this sermon altogether different. Now what I do, and again, this is not a preaching class, but what I do when I prepare a message, I get a thought, and I try to immediately, when I get that thought, I try to immediately outline it and put it together, and then I study it, and then I, as the Lord lays it on my heart, and then I preach it. Brother Metcalf, again, this message I did altogether different. And I've never prepared a message quite like this. I don't know if I'll ever prepare another one like this. But it's just what I did for this message. And so what I did was, that phrase caught my attention, and I titled the thought, the AKA, the also known as, that I want today. And I studied the introduction, studied the text, and then I just went through the life of Daniel, and the first thing I came to was, number one, his consecration. So sis, I wrote down number one, Roman numeral one, his consecration. And I studied it. I had no idea what number two was going to be. No clue. Now usually when I study, I've got the outline. I know the direction. I'm going to go in a course of the Lord. I don't have to say this for this room, but we got haters that are drunk on haterade and they're watching right now. In Jesus' name. But then number two, I wrote down as I came to it, his cooperation. And I had never seen that till I studied the message, how that they weren't just peers on a Bible page, but they were believable pals. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I studied that out. And so I went back and I looking at the life of Daniel, and I came to that third thing, which was his communication. That's prayer. And I wrote that down, and I studied that out. And then I went to the fourth thing, and I didn't know what the fourth thing was going to be. I'm just preparing this, and I found in the life of Daniel, studying the life of Daniel, I saw number four, his continuation. And I wrote that down, studied it out. And so I looked over the outline, and I said to myself, well, I'd sure like to preach this. But we got number one, his consecration. And again, Brother Medcalf, I've never prepared a message quite like this. And if it goes good tonight, maybe I'll just prepare them all that way. Number two, his cooperation. Number three, his communication. Number four, his continuation. And I looked at the outline and I said to myself, now wait a minute. The text says, and dissolved doubt. Now, we got to have soul winning. We absolutely have to have soul winning. Because like it, lump it, bump it, jump it, take it across the street and dump it, we'll never dissolve doubts unless we're soul winners. Amen. So I said to myself, there's got to be soul winning. I mean, it's just got to be. And so I looked at the life of Daniel, didn't see it. I looked at the life of Daniel, didn't see it. Looked at the life of Daniel, didn't see it. Looked one more time at the life of Daniel, and seemingly the Holy Ghost nudged my heart and said, dum-dum, it's right here. And Brother Medcalf, I want you to stand and read where we all can hear you, Daniel 12 in verse 3. Number 5, and last of all, you ready? His constellation. Brother Medcalf.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, sir. His constellation. You see, I'm never going to dissolve doubts, and you're never going to dissolve doubts. And we're never going to dissolve doubts unless we have that scriptural model which gives the spiritual moniker his constellation. In Daniel 12 in verse 3, God tells us that he connects, that he couples, that he there compares the effort of evangelism, the effort of soul winning, oh my, with the stars that sparkle in the midnight sky like glistening diamonds. Isn't it interesting that forever he puts that connect, forever he puts that comparison, forever he puts that coupling in of the Word of God. You see, Brother Daniel knew what the unknown prophet or unknown poet knew when he simply wrote, is there anything else that is better worth as long life's way we plod than to find some wandering soul of earth and bring him home to God? I would rather find a soul that's lost and bring him home again than to own all earth's acres cost or all the wealth of man. Wouldn't I be glad when the day is done in breathing my latest breath to know some word of mine had won and saved a soul from death? Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA and dissolve doubts of Brother Daniel is his constellation. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Don't miss this. The brightest stars aren't seen on new movie posters, but are those that show up for a bus calling, support church-wide visitation, and still carry gospel tracts in their pockets and purses. That's who heaven's stars are. They're soul winners. Look at the text, Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts. Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts. Daniel 5:16, and dissolve doubts. I'm closing with this. Back in November of 2023, just last year, I had preached on a Sunday night at the Metro Baptist Church in Belleville, Michigan. It was Thanksgiving week. I normally will preach somewhere on a Sunday, preach at our home church on Wednesday night. Of course, have Thanksgiving at home, and pretty much it's a light week, and I take most of it off. But at the start of that service, that Sunday night, at the Metro Baptist Church, the pastor, Dr. John Vaprzan, when he got up to do the welcome, he said, I wonder, this is Thanksgiving week. And he said, how about if you just stand and tell us how long you've been saved? Let's do that. And I was already on the platform, and the fellow up the balcony stood, and he said, I've been saved now for 75 years. And the preacher said to him, he said, Calvin, that's great. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And I thought to myself, I was on the platform, Dr. Jameson, I thought to myself, I think he said 75. I'm not sure, but I think he said 75. And boy, I want to meet that brother, and I want to find out if I heard correctly, because it's not, Mr. Smith, it's not every day that you meet somebody who's been saved 75 years, 7 decades and a half. It's just not every day. And so, man, I want to find that fella. I want to understand if I heard correctly. And there were other people that stood and said, I've been saved 10 years. And somebody said 32 years. But it kept in my mind. It kept going back to the fella up in the balcony. I later learned his name was Calvin. And Calvin, I thought I heard him say that he'd been saved 75 years. So, man, I want to meet Calvin. Well, after the service, before I could get to Calvin, Calvin got to me, asked me to sign his Bible. I said, Calvin, did I understand you correctly? I hear you right. Have you been saved 75 years? He said, yes, sir. He said, yes, sir, Dr. Hamlin, I've been saved 75 years. I said, well, you got to tell me about it. Tell me how you got saved. And tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, oh, I'd be glad to tell you about it. He said, I was a little boy. And he said, I was playing at the church. And I think he mentioned that his mother may have been the church pianist, and she was practicing with the choir or something, and Calvin, just a little boy, he was running around the church playing like little boys do, and he said, I ran by the preacher's office, oh my, and he said, the door opened, and the preacher stepped out, and he said, Calvin, he said, I've been wanting to talk to you. He said, come on in my office, I'd like to talk to you. And he said, just the way he said it, Dr. Hamlin, he just seemed burdened. He seemed like there was something that was heavy on his heart, and he said, I walked into his office, and he said, he didn't even ask me to sit down. He just said, now, Calvin, I've been burdened about you. And Calvin, you got a soul. And that soul, oh my, is going to spend somewhere forever. And Calvin, I need to tell you about the Lord. And Calvin, you need to be saved. And he said, and he's got tears in his eyes, Brother Medcalf. He said, my preacher took his Bible and went down the Romans road with me and led me to Christ. He said, 75 years ago, I got saved. He said, my preacher had a burden for me, and he led me to Jesus. Well, I asked what probably you would have asked too. I said, now, Calvin, that's wonderful. And, man, I appreciate you sharing that with me. But, Calvin, I've got to ask you. I said, now, what I have known, what I have, if you knew what was coming, you'd go, to. I said, Calvin, would I have known your preacher? And he smiled like a jack-o'-lantern on Halloween. And he said, oh, yes, Dr. Hamlin, you'd have known my preacher. I said, well, who's your preacher? He said, my preacher is Dr. W.G. Moorhead. He said it was Dr. Moorhead that helped Dr. C.I. Schofield with the notes in the old Schofield Bible. He said, sure, you would have known my preacher. When I got home that night, I went to my very first Bible. I flipped the front page. There's two columns of names under the name of C.I. Schofield in the old. I'm not talking about the new one. The new Schofield I wouldn't even use as a coaster for a coffee cup. I'm talking about the old Schofield, and right under the name C.I. Schofield, on the left there's a column of names, and on the right there's a column of names, and the top name on the right-hand column is Dr. W.G. Moorhead. I took out my pen and I circled his name in my first Bible. And I wrote in the margin P period, S period, which stands for personal soul winner. Yes. W.G. Moorhead. Now watch this. Isn't it interesting that Dr. Moorhead helped C.I. Schofield with the notes in the old Schofield Bible. And when he called Calvin into his office, he didn't say, now I'm going to unwind all the mysteries of time and eternity. I'm going to tell you about the wheel, inside the wheel, by the other wheel, by the training wheels, by the big wheel. I'm going to explain to you predestination and foreknowledge, and I'm going to explain to you soteriology, and I'm going to explain to you that wrinkle on the toe of Daniel's image. Hey, I can explain that to you. Old toes, that's what it is. Sorry, Mrs. Jameson, I forgot about you and your toes. I'm gonna explain to you what those, I'll tell you what those wrinkles are. It don't take a 12-week Bible study. That's just old toes, that's what those wrinkles are. He didn't do any of that. None of that. He led Calvin to Christ. And 75 years later, you know what Dr. Moorhead is reminded and remembered for? It's not so much the notes in the old Schofield Bible, and that's commendable, but he's more importantly remembered for being a personal soul winner and dissolving doubts in a little boy's heart. That's the AKA that I want today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.